Welcome to Fishing Without Bait, where we're going to continue our conversation with our fascinating guest, Mike Oglesby.
One of the probably most difficult things that I've gone through in my life is estrangement. And it's for that very reason. You know, I remember it's been about 6.5 years now, and I stood up for myself and my family. I come from a family that, you know, pride was a big thing. And you, when you grow up with these things, you kind of gain some of those traits. So I had to really look at myself and be honest with myself and work those things out. Because, you know, the reality is, just like the tattoo on your arm, you get to choose. You get to choose what kind of man or woman or whatever it is that you call yourself, whatever that is. You get to choose who you are going to be in this world. And most people don't know that. Most people are told who they're going to be. I always say that, you know, we're not taught how to think. We're taught what to think. And so people walk around with this identity that was given to them, and they become just a reflection of the environment rather than a reflection of who they truly want to be in this world. You know, the passions and the things that drive them, they don't really give it too much thought because they're so busy trying to be what they're supposed to be based on everybody else.
Well, what I help people understand is life is neither fair nor unfair. It's how you react to situations. It's how you react. Generally, what I tell people, and I said when we start, I say, here's some facts that I'd like you to grasp. Number one, you're a spiritual being. Number two, you're having a human experience, and your enmeshment in this human experience is why you're sitting here with me. And I said, then life is absurd. And once you grasp those three concepts, our work will be done.
Yes, life is everything that you can comprehend, because you can only comprehend what is in the sphere of what we call life. So anything you can think of, I don't care how extreme it is, that's within the scope of life. You know, that's just the way life is. Bad things happen to good people. Good things happen to bad people. That's just the way the system works. Oh, but that's not fair. Fair is not a real thing. No. That's a made-up concept. That's not real. And so if you're going to hang on to a made-up concept and then reality comes and slaps you in the face, it's kind of hard to get mad at life. I mean, who's wrong here? Life or us? And we just got to be real with ourselves. We're the ones who need to change. I mean, look, when reality doesn't match what you think it is, that's when we start, you know, having resentments and we start getting angry and things like that. But that doesn't make sense, because our thinking, you know, when it's not aligned with reality, you know, it causes a lot of problems. And that's where some people say, oh, the truth hurts sometimes. Truth never hurts you. The truth doesn't hurt. It's because you're not standing in the truth and you got a hard dose of reality that hurts you. But that's not because of the truth. That's because of you. It's because of your thinking. And you may not have chosen that thinking. It was most likely passed down to you through your parents or your caretakers or someone in your environment, maybe the radio or a movie. But the truth, you know, when we can get to the truth, we can be so much more effective, so much happier, and get rid of so many of these issues and problems that we have in life. And there's plenty of them to go around. You know, pick and choose. Everything is permitted in this system, and it doesn't matter what it is. It can be the big things. It can be the small things. Murder, mass murder, it's all part of the system. Whether we think it should be or shouldn't be, it's irregardless, right? And furthermore, for us to say something shouldn't happen, where did we come up with that idea, right? I mean, where did we get the idea that we somehow know what should and shouldn't be in life? You know, I really see life as a gift, and I see everything in life as a gift. Every single thing. It does not matter what it is. It doesn't matter how crazy it is, how tragic it is. I look at life as a gift. I look at the entirety of life as a gift. And I can't look at the entirety of life as a gift if I start nitpicking and calling all these other things wrong or bad and they shouldn't be, right? I think my intelligence may be the equivalent of a grain of sand upon this earth, right? And I don't think anyone has any intelligence beyond that when you look at the scope of life and the entire universe and all the probably trillions or however many people have occupied this space, and the plants and the animal life. But we have so little intelligence and wisdom that we can contain in this one expression of ourself, that we know ourselves as this human being. And so to rely solely on that to define what this world is and isn't doesn't really make a lot of sense. And so it's important that we align our expectations with reality to the greatest degree that we can.
Well, generally what I suggest to people is to keep your head in the clouds and keep your feet on the ground.
Yes, I love it. Be a dreamer. Be a dreamer, because, you know, when you think about it, you know, everything is made up. It's really, you know, interesting to think about it like that, but everything made by humankind, you know, came from the imagination. We literally live in a world of imagination expressed. So it's important to dream big. Be unrealistic with your dreams, right? But be realistic with your strategy, right? I mean, there is a time to be unrealistic.
Well, generally, I'll say keep your head in the clouds and keep your feet on the ground. Somebody will come with me and have all these fantastic, illuminating ideas. I say, that's fabulous. But how do you put gas in your car?
Yep, that's it. That's it. Let's just be real. You know, dream and everything, but let's deal with reality too. Don't get too far outside of that, or else it's going to hurt, you know?
What I'm hearing from you, Mike, is a lot of wisdom gained from life experience.
Yeah, I've been through a lot. I feel like I've lived about 30 lives in this one life. I've been through a lot of different changes, a lot of ups and downs, a lot of struggles, a lot of challenges, a lot of pain and suffering. I mean, that really defined me for the first half of my life. Really did.
Well, it's very difficult to take somebody further down a road than you've been yourself.
Absolutely. You know, and that's another thing about, you know, life being a gift. You know, people are, you know, they're embarrassed about their stories. You know, they're embarrassed about their struggles. And I was too. I was too for a very long time. I didn't want to, you know, I guess put my dirt out there, because I've done a lot of stupid things. I've made a lot of poor choices, you know, but doing that is what made me into the man that I am, and someone who I've been able to take that dark and turn it into light so that I can shine that for other people as a guide, you know, kind of like a lighthouse. And if you really listen to people who are successful and not just, you know, a financial success, but just successful in life and really done some amazing things, a lot of times they have stories where, you know, they've been down to the bottom. And there's a lot of power going down to the bottom. A lot of power.
Nobody ever learns anything much by success. Most everything is learned from failure, Mike.
Yes. A necessary step. Absolutely.
Well, that's what I keep hearing from you. A lot of experience in your life that gave you wisdom.
Yeah.
And now you get the chance to pass this on to other people.
Absolutely. And my story has really become the inspiration that people have led people to me. A lot of people that come to me because of my story, because they can relate and because I can relate to them. And that's a very powerful tool when you're working with people, is, you know, not just the education, but when you have the life experience, whew, there's a whole another level you can bring into a session and into a person's life and the way you can help them. You know, that's why I specialize in the anxiety and depression. You know, I dealt with that my whole life. I'm talking suicidal ideation, OCDs, trichotillomania, addictions. I mean, just you name it, all kinds of stuff, terrible relationships, divorce. And I mean, just there was so many problems, and life was just this recurring battle and this struggling and the suffering. And that's all my life really was. That's all I saw. It was almost like living another day was like a form of self-abuse to me.
But I like that.
You know, it was painful, but, you know, going through that pain, of course, when you're going through it, you know, until you start to understand pain and that it does serve a great purpose, until you start understanding that, you know, you're just hating life. You're just hating being alive. And I was too big of a coward to take myself out. And thankfully so. But, you know, overcoming suicidal ideation and anxieties and depressions and, you know, the fear-based philosophy and mentality that I grew up on and lived most of my life on, now that I've been able to turn that around and I've been able to step into my own power, that becomes a great source of power to be able to share with other people. And people need that because there's a lot of people out there that are hurting. They're in pain, they're suffering, and they don't know what to do about it. And so when they hear about someone that has been through these things and has a strategy and a structure and a way of being able to take somebody from the darkness to that light, you know, they want a part of that because people want to get better. Even though you look at their actions and what they're doing, you wouldn't think that they want to get better. You would be like, oh, yeah, you want to stay sick. You want to be miserable. You want to be unhappy because you keep doing things that propel that. But I think people do want to get better. They just don't know that they can. They just think, you know, maybe like I did, oh, this is just life. This is just the way life is. Life just sucks. You know, it's just painful. It's just, you know, suffering all the time. That's just the way life is. But it's not. But it's not.
Well, Mike, there's a big difference between asking for help and accepting it. There's many people that help, but however, the ones who really change their lives and transform are willing to accept help. How do you Absolutely. Deal with that with the folks that come to you? I'm sure many people ask for help when they come to see you.
Yeah, I've learned over the years to become very selective who I work with. I only want to work with people that I'm meant to serve. And I learned many years ago, I'm not meant to serve everybody in this world. And I don't want to serve everybody in this world. I don't want to be another excuse of all this didn't work. I don't want to be with people like that. I want to make sure that at the end of my day, when I've worked with people that day, that I feel good. Not necessarily because all the sessions went great and, you know, there were all these big breakthroughs and epiphanies. It's not about that. You know, I don't look for the big things. I look for the small things. As long as we can see a little bit of progress, we know that we're on a good track. But, you know, I turn a lot of the people that call me away because if they're not really ready, then I'm not ready to help them. Right. So I'm very picky.
How do you make that determination, Mike?
I typically can, you know, as I talk with them about their motivations, like one of the first things, if somebody says, you know, if I say, okay, well, you know, why are you calling me? Oh, well, and my wife wanted me to, oh, you know, my husband, like, eh, I'm probably not your guy. Right. Because if you're not here because of yourself, then you're not really going to thrive through this. I want to work with the people that really want help, and they're going to show their motivation. You know, you can feel it, you know, especially, you know, being an empath, you know, feeling energy and feeling someone's state, even over the phone, lets me know that they're ready to receive help. And I look for the type of person as well, right? You know, are they coachable? Because I'll, you know, on the consultation call, you know, I'll talk with them about some things. So I kind of say that I put people through this red velvet rope policy that I have. I'm actually interviewing them while they're interviewing me as well.
Nah.
And so I'm trying to find out their motivations, their coachability. So I'm doing a little bit of teaching while I'm on the phone with them, just in the consultation. And that lets me know how receptive they are. And sometimes they're not receptive. Sometimes they're, you know, they're combative and they're letting me know who they are. Because if you talk to a person for 30, 45 minutes, they're going to let you know who they are. I mean, you can only keep the facade up for so long. But if I find, you know, that I'm a few weeks into sessions with a person and they're not responsive, they're not doing the work, and I can't kind of move them into that space, I'll typically let them go. I want to reserve that space for somebody who's...
How do you do that, Mike?
How do I let them go?
Yes.
Well, you know, I'm honest with them, you know, not brutally honest, you know, but I just let them know that, you know, I don't think my services are the right ones for you. And if I have someone that I can recommend, then I'll recommend that. Or I'll just, you know, I'll just have a conversation with them. Because I, you know, setting up the expectations in the beginning is important. So they already know what I'm looking for, which is the effort. And I'll tell them, you know, look, if we get into a program and you're not doing the work, you're not putting in the effort, and, you know, you're not doing what it takes to change and taking these things that I'm teaching you and utilizing them, then, you know, we're gonna have to part ways. So I set that up from the very beginning, right? Because sometimes you do have to let people go. It's very rare that I have to do that, because I've become, you know, pretty good at, you know, knowing who my clientele is and who they're not. But I'll have just an honest conversation with them. You know, a gentle conversation, but an honest conversation with them.
Well, generally, I tell people, I'll say, I'm here to help you help yourself, and I'll do my part, and I fully expect you to do yours.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And if they're not going to do it, then I don't want to do it.
The recovery work doesn't take place in the sessions. The recovery work takes place outside when you're in the world.
Absolutely.
And if you don't practice these things, and if somebody comes in and tells me, oh, everything's going wonderful, I know that they're lying to me.
Yeah. Yeah, because growth is not an easy process. Growth is not this wonderful process. You know, it's not this peaceful journey. There's peace along the journey, but growth, that's one of the hardest things you'll ever do in your life. And so that's why so few people do it, because when it starts getting tough, you know, people don't follow through. And so if I can't move them into that space, you know, then I have to let them go, because I don't want to waste their time. I don't want to waste their resources. And furthermore, I don't want to waste my time and resources when I could be helping someone who is ready for that help. So that's very important to me.
Well, in the 12-step world, and one of the chapters says working with others, it said stop knocking on a door for somebody that won't open it. You're denying someone else the opportunity to get well.
Absolutely. And my time, you know, back to what you said about time, my time is valuable. It's my most valuable resource. I can lose everything else, but if I have time, I can gain everything back. But if I have no time, I got nothing. And so I don't want to waste my time, and I don't want someone else to waste my time. So that's why I'm very selective of who I work with.
Well, it appears that we're quite like-minded people, Mike.
Yes.
So how does someone get in, if they listen to this podcast, how would they get in touch with Mike Oglesby?
Well, the first thing they could do is they can, you know, check out my website, mikeoglesby.com. Also the social channels, right? Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. What is there? X, LinkedIn. So I'm pretty much on all those. I put out, you know, some quotes or some videos, little snippets, things like that, daily, just to kind of inspire, you know, motivate people, keep people informed about things that are going on, books that are coming out, or, you know, things that I'm working on. So there's a lot of different ways to reach out to me, but I would first recommend just going to the website, checking it out. You know, you can look up the reviews of my work and, you know, some of the things that I help people with. So that's what I would recommend first. Yeah.
Your links are on the website?
Yes.
Okay, great. Well, and again, I think one of the requirements that to be a patient of yours would be honesty, open-mindedness, and a willingness to try.
Absolutely. If you don't have that, then, you know, what are we doing? You know, it's not, you know, getting help with someone like myself, it's not cheap. And I'm mindful about that. You know, I don't want someone coming and wasting their resources. And I certainly, again, don't want to become someone else's excuse. I will help anyone who's willing to help themselves. And as you said, it's not me that helps them. It's me that helps them help themselves. But, you know, I can't help someone who won't help themselves. So then we're just sitting around the office twiddling our thumbs, wondering what's going on and why we're still going through this. And, you know, this, what I do isn't driven by money. It's not driven by, you know, just an idea of things that I like to do. This is driven by purpose. I have a purpose here. And so I'm going to go out here and I'm going to serve my purpose. And my purpose is to help people who want that help, who are ready for that help, who are open for that help. And if a person that, you know, calls me and they don't fit in that category, I'm not going to step out of my purpose for anyone. I did that for far too long in my life, and I'm just not willing to do it anymore.
So if there was a mission statement for Mike Oglesby, what would it be?
My mission is to help as many people as I can overcome the mental health struggles that they've experienced in their life and to step into greater levels of their potential.
Well, Mike, you're quite a delightful fellow, and I'm certainly glad that we connected tonight and hear some of the things that you say that really correspond to what we believe.
Thank you so much, and likewise. I've enjoyed talking with you. I enjoy your show, and I'm honored to be a guest on your show. Thank you so much.
Well, I don't want you to be a stranger, Mike. We like to connect with people at least maybe every 8-9 months, once a year, to catch up with them, to see what is going on in their life, because people become attached to this. They listen to this program, and they say, I wonder what Mike Oglesby's doing now.
I'd love to catch up.
That'd
be great.
Love to have you back on. So at the end of every podcast, Mike, what we do is we offer a free prescription that can be cashed anywhere. It's fruits, nuts, and vegetables. Unplug your television and take up fishing. And for a truly mindful experience, we suggest that you fish without bait. And we ask people to do a kindness for themselves and do a kindness for another. We ask people to forgive themselves and to forgive another. We often tell them that if we're all not God's children, none of us are. Be good to yourself every day. Till all are free, none are free. Namaste.
If you're interested in flying the colors of fishing without bait, click the shop icon on our website. We have clothing, mugs, cell phone cases, and so much more. Show the world that you fish without bait. This show is a member of the Sorgatron Media Podcast Network. Find out more at sorgatronmedia.com.